last week we had an amazing message from Adrian. And his message was entitled Moving Forwards. And it was really encouraging message, saying to us and encouraging us that God is taking us to new places. And it's something that we should embrace. And even as we're in lockdown and there are different things happening, that in fact, as we move out, that we shouldn't expect the things to stay the same, because actually God is doing something new. And as he used the analogy of Joshua, who led the children of Israel over the River Jordan to the place where God had promised them. Along the way, the children of Israel may have created memorials and plaques and to remind them of the great things God had done for them. And those, Adrian was encouraging us that we can too set up memorials and plaques to remind us of the good things God has done. But those should be a catalyst or a springboard to propel us into the things where God wants to take us. And it shouldn't act as a residence, that we shouldn't be stuck in a past, but we should move forward into what God has prepared for us today, into the new places he's taken us. And we're going to be honest that sometimes that can be quite scary. We can feel quite scared about moving in faith, because as Adrian said, sometimes we're moving into the unknown. We're moving into places that we're unsure, and we don't know what to expect when we come into new places and new territories. Sometimes we like to hold on to the past, and we can think, well, if things are not broke, why do we need to fix it? And we hold on to past things and former glories, and it can make us scary wanting to try something new. And as we're going to see later on this afternoon, that sometimes we can fear opposition, and that can prevent us from wanting to move forward, because there are things and agendas out that are not there for our good. And it's one thing that Adrian said last week, that even as I was preparing for this, the Lord was laying things on my heart. He said, do not fear, that even though we fear the unknown, we fear the past, and we fear opposition, that the word said that do not fear, for I, the Lord, am with you. And that's something we're going to look at today, that even though there are things that may be set up to oppose us, that God is with us and God is leading us each and every step of the way. And I actually want to begin by looking at Joshua, because Adrian took us through chapter 3, and I want to actually start chapter 1, where actually God almost tapped Joshua on the shoulder and said, look, Moses is past now, Moses is dead, and I need you to take up the mantle, to step up and step out and lead the children of Israel to the inheritance and the promised land that I've promised the people. But before then, even when we read the book of Deuteronomy, Joshua was an assistant to Moses for 40 years. And it's important to know that before God spoke to Joshua, and we know that God spoke to him to say, look, be strong and courageous, there was a season that God was preparing Joshua for, that before he stepped up and led, there was a season where he was a faithful servant and God had been preparing him. And it's similar to us as well. And there are many other examples in the Bible, that we had David, who God was preparing as a shepherd boy, that before he stepped up to face Goliath, God was preparing him. Before he stepped up to be king, God was preparing him as a shepherd boy for those moments to step up and lead. And even Stephen, who we know was chosen as one of the seven deacons, and before he stepped up and spoke so boldly and openly to religious leaders and spreading the gospel, even at the expense of his life and when he was stoned, but God was preparing him, even on waiting on tables as a deacon. And I want to encourage us, even before I go on, that those of us in Micah who are faithfully serving, and I want to say that in moving forward, that everyone is important and everyone is needed. And if there's anything this lockdown has shown us, is that God has been preparing us over the last year, and even beforehand, God has been preparing us to take us to that place of moving forward. And we shouldn't negate the season that God has taken us through to get to where we are now. And even as we're excited that, yes, we're moving forward and God has taken us to a new place, let's take hold of the preparation God has taken us through, because God is going to use faithful servants. And so whatever you might be doing in Micah, you might be stepping up behind the scenes and faithfully serving behind the scenes. You may be serving in small groups and assisting with small groups. You may be using your technical skills and abilities to help further the work that Micah is doing. But I want to encourage you that this God is preparing you for what he's about to do through you. And collectively as a church, as God wants to take us together and advance us forward, everyone is going to be needed and everyone is important. And don't be too surprised. Those of us who feel we're just slotted and we're just happy to be at the back and faithfully serving, God may tap you on the shoulder like he did to Joshua and say, look, it's time for you to step up and step out. But the things God has waiting for you to do, God is going to use you as we move forward and advance together. And so it was interesting, and there's a parallel before we get to our main passage of scripture, that God spoke to Joshua and he said, look, be strong and courageous. And he said it over, he said it three times to him. And he said it in Joshua chapter 1:6-9. He said, be strong and courageous, for I have chosen you as a faithful servant. So step up and step out and be bold, because I've chosen you, because I know you're a faithful servant. And for God to call someone a faithful servant the same way he did to Moses is an absolute compliment, because we know that God will always call faithful people to serve, because faithful people are great because they know what it means to serve. And just like Jesus, the Bible says that the Son of Man did not come to be served, to serve. So God was saying, look, you can be bold, you can be courageous, for I have chosen you. And you should step into that calling. And secondly, he told him to be strong and courageous and be careful to obey the law. And it says, when you obey the law, don't deviate from the left or to the right, but obey the law. And then and only then will you be successful in all you do and all that I've mandated you to do. So he said, be strong and courageous, for I've chosen you because you're faithful. So be bold in that and be strong and courageous and obey the law, obey truth. Don't deviate from the left and to the right, obey truth and proclaim truth. And thirdly, he says, do not fear. So as you step out, do not fear, for again, I, the Lord, am with you. And so this afternoon, our main passage of scripture is taken from Matthew chapter 10, verse 25 to 31. If you've got a Bible, you can get that ready. We're going to read it through. And there's a parallel from what God spoke to Joshua to Jesus and when he was speaking to his disciples. I want to see how it relates to us today, because Jesus had chosen the 12 disciples and he had given them power and authority over demons and to perform miracles. And so they were going out performing miracles in Christ's name. But Christ was preparing them. And he was basically saying that all the things that I had spoken to you in private and all the parables that I had spoken, but I had spoken to you in private, now is the time where we're ready to go public. I'm going to send you out and we're going public. Because now is the time where truth needs to be proclaimed and proclaimed boldly. And Jesus was left them under no illusions. He said, look, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. And as you proclaim my truth, there's going to be savages out there that are going to try and take you down. But through this passage of scripture, again, the word of the Lord says to them, says, do not fear. Do not fear, because I'm with you. Do not be fearful, because I am God. And we're going to look at what it means to have the right kind of fear. For God says, look, conserve all your energy about your worry and concerns. Fear me. And even in this time as we move forward, I really felt the Lord laid it on my heart to say to us that even as God has been preparing us in this season to really step out and move forward into the new things that Christ has prepared for us, he's telling us that now is the time more than ever before to proclaim truth and to be bold and confident and step out and proclaim God's truth. And so the message is to be bold, to step up and be bold and fear not, for Christ is with us. And so Matthew 10, verse 24 to 28, I'm going to read. It says, students are not greater than their teacher. And slaves are not greater than their master. Students are to be like their teacher, and slaves are to be like their master. And since I, the master of the household, have been called the prince of demons, the members of my household will be called by even worse names. But don't be afraid of those who threaten you. For the time is coming when everything that is covered will be revealed, and all that is secret will be made known to all. What I tell you in the darkness should be abroad when daybreak comes. And what I whisper in your ear, shout from the housetops for all to hear. Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. Excuse me, they cannot touch your soul. For fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. What is the price of two sparrows, one copper coin? But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your father knowing it. And the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. And this afternoon, I want to look at three points from this passage of scripture that God was saying to disciples and to us, that number one, he wanted them to claim truth boldly. And we're going to look a bit about why truth and what's so important about as we move forward and as we advance forward, the importance of proclaiming truth and what truth does and the importance of proclaiming it boldly. And secondly, Jesus left the disciples under no illusions. He said, when you proclaim truth and you proclaim it boldly, expect to receive opposition. And the world we're living in today, things are changing around us, and there are agendas and forces that are working in opposition to God's truth. But God is saying to us that even through that opposition, that we should fear God and not man. And we're going to look a little bit about what it means to truly fear God as opposed to fearing man. And so, where it says in verse 27, it says, what I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And it's important to note that when Jesus spoke during his time, he often, as we know, he spoke in parables. And the parables were designed to tell kingdom truths, but in a story. And Jesus did that as a guise because he said to them, look, seeing they wouldn't see and hearing they wouldn't hear. And it wasn't the right time for Jesus to speak so openly and boldly about the kingdom truths, because the hearts of the people were very hard to hear. But Jesus spoke to the disciples and was saying to them now that the time was right to proclaim truth openly. And when we look at truth and when we say, look, what is so important about truth, and why is truth going to be so important to us as Micah Church? And when we look at John chapter 8, verse 31 to 32, Jesus says these famous words. He said to the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And there's two key things I want to bring out in this passage of scripture that is, I feel, is quite important. Is the first thing that Jesus said to the people who had believed. And so there were some people who had already made the decision that they wanted to follow Christ, and there were people that had already made the decision to say, yes, I'm a believer in Christ. But Jesus made the distinction here and said, look, it's not just about the people who claim to believe, but he said that if you're truly my disciples, you'll remain faithful to my teachings. In other words, that you'll remain faithful to truth. And it's not enough for us just to claim for lip service that we believe in God. It's about remaining faithful and remaining faithful to truth and obeying the teachings of Christ. And it says that you'll know the truth and the truth of who Christ is. And what we preach and what we have to speak about is the truth of the gospel and the truth of what Christ did on the cross. And it's that truth that can bring truth, freedom, and liberty in our lives and to the people listening to us when we present the gospel. And so truth is so important because it mattered to Christ. And he said, look, if you believe in me, you're going to obey my teachings. You're going to obey the truth. For I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and I am the life. And so no man can come to the Father except through me. And so when we preach and when we're bold and we're speaking, it has to be truth that we proclaim Jesus from the rooftops. That is our mandate, and that is who we proclaim, Jesus. And so it is so going to be so important. Secondly, a powerful scripture in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. And it says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. And I've put here that that scripture really highlights the power of truth, and that truth is, when we understand the truth of God's word and what it does to us, it diagnoses really the spiritual condition of man with perfect precision. And the analogy used there is of a surgeon's scalp that is able to cut through our hearts and our souls and to really get to the deep root of the spirit man, to discern whether we're truly following Christ and truly the innermost thoughts and desires of our hearts. And a few weeks ago, Pastor Dennis shared the gospel message, and why it was so powerful is because he really highlighted that in order for us to truly understand the power of the Easter message, that the power of the gospel is the only thing that can really truly bring us to a place of repentance. That yes, we're happy that Christ died on the cross and paid the price for our sins, but there's that element that the word will penetrate deep into people's hearts, so much so that it leads us to a place of repentance. And only truth, and only the power of truth can do that. Only the power of truth can penetrate truly to the heart and the soul of man. So again, we preach truth openly because we understand that it's truth and understanding who Christ is that sets us free. And it's the power of truth that is really going to cut to the soul and the heart of mankind as we preach it. Secondly, as we see, Jesus spoke openly to say, I want you to go out openly and I want you to speak truth. But there is going to be opposition. And he says, look, I'm sending you out in the preceding verses of the chapter. He said, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. So be as shrewd as snakes and harmless as doves. And he says to them, although I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves, he says three times not to fear. And I've just sort of summarized the reasons why people might fear. He says the fear of being labeled. He says, look, if they've called me, who is the master of the household, the prince of demons, and other versions say they labeled me Beelzebub. How much more are they going to call you names? And so there may be a fear of being labeled. Secondly, he says that the fear of exposing darkness, that when we're going to be able to expose by speaking truth, we're exposing darkness. And that's going to meet opposition, the fact that we're exposing darkness And thirdly, the fear of death, that he says, do not worry about those that can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. And so there could be a fear that when we preach the message, he was saying to them that, there's a chance that you could die, but God is saying, don't fear death, because death is not the end. And so how does that relate to us today? What are today's fears? And I was having a discussion with my dad a few weeks ago, and we spoke about some of these issues that today that there is a real threat to religious freedom. And what does that mean to us as a church, even as we move forward? And one of the things we're beginning to see that perhaps the influence that perhaps churches had before is slowly beginning to diminish. And for us as a church who are holding strong to biblical truth, it's becoming more and more incompatible from the worldview. And so sometimes our influence could be waning. And it was in the news recently that an MP has chosen to distance himself from a church that he visited because he felt that, again, their views are now becoming incompatible. And these are more of the things that we're finding. Secondly, there's perception and how things could be. We will know the media can spin things, and we may find ourselves in a position where our views are made to be taken out of context, and the way we are perceived is not going to be as we would like it to be. Obviously, we preach love, we preach the love of Christ, but truth may mean that in opposition, people may try to spin what we're preaching in love to be in some ways evil, and it's nothing new under the sun. The prophets of old were lambasted, and the disciples were persecuted, and we as the children of God, even as we preach, can expect the same treatment, and there are fears of that. And even the next generation, you know, as a father now, I often think about how is it going to be for my son, that as the world is changing and views are changing, how is the effect of religious freedom going to affect the next generation? But through all of this, God is saying to us, he does not want us to fear, that our job is to proclaim truth and to proclaim it boldly. And he reassures us in the passage. He says, look, members of my household will be called even worse names. But basically he's saying that if you are called names, it's almost proof that you're in the right standing with God. And Matthew in the Beatitudes, where he says, yeah, blessed are you if you're reviled and persecuted and they call you names, because you know that the kingdom of God is for people like you. So Jesus is saying you're blessed that you're a member of my household. And even though they may call you names, it's proof that you're in the right standing. Secondly, he reminds us that everything that is going to be hidden is going to be exposed. And there's a time coming where, although it looks bleak, that there's going to be a time of vindication, that there will be a time when everything we'll believe is going to look rigid. We're going to be told that our beliefs are out of date. And to some degree, we're going to be told that our views and preaching truth lacks compassion because there's a lack of understanding about what we believe. But Jesus is saying in time that everything that's hidden is going to be exposed and will be vindicated for standing up the truth. And thirdly, he says, you know, they can kill your body, but not your soul. And in other words, that they can kill you, but they can never destroy you. And 1 Thessalonians 5:23 explains that our makeup, that yes, we're made up of body, but also of soul and spirit. A man can attempt to knock us down and kill our bodies, but can never, ever kill our soul and spirit. And then later on, the last bit in the verse, it talks about the sparrows, that even the sparrows who are considered cheap, he says that God has even a providential plan for the sparrows, that even the sparrows, God has a plan for, and how much more so will God have a plan for us, that even the hairs on our head, it says, are numbered. Even the hairs on our head are numbered. So it says, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body, but they cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. What are the price of two sparrows, one copper coin? But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your father knowing it. And that's a deep point, because it means that nothing in this world can happen without God okaying it. And we're going to look in a second about power and authority, that God has all power and all authority, and that even to the point where the very hairs on our head, for those of us that have hair, are numbered. So don't be afraid. But if God is looking out for the sparrows, how much more valuable is he looking after us? And so Jesus encourages us. He says, fear not three times in the passage. And then the one time he asks us to fear, he asks us to redirect our fears towards him. And I used the Message translation because I felt it really brought out the point. It says, save your fear for God, who holds your entire life, body and soul, in his hands. And there's a parallel here with power and authority that perhaps we should understand and not confuse. I love sport and I love football, as you know. One of the things to use analogy of football is, on a football field you have 11 players on each side. So there's 22 players on a football field, and who are athletic football players, and they are built and they're quite powerful, and there's one person on the field who's the referee, who's probably not as built, probably not as fast, and probably is not as athletic as the 22 players on the field. But understand this, it's the referee that, whilst the players can kick the ball about and can take each other down with their strength and their power, it's only the referee that has the authority to take you out of the game. And that was an interesting thought, that power, whilst players have power, they don't have authority. Only the referee has the authority in the game to make decisions. He can make a decision to end the game. He can make a decision to disallow things that players, the goals. He has the authority to overrule the linesman, to overrule a manager. And that's how God is, that all power and authority belongs to God. Satan's power is limited. And in a nutshell, there's nothing that Satan can do without God giving it the okay. And God, through his providence, has given Satan limited power. But Satan can do nothing without God's permission. And there's nothing in this world that Satan can ever do to you that, but God has all power and the final authority. And we have to live our lives walking in the power and authority that Christ has given to us. Jesus said, all power and authority is given to me, and such as his disciples, he's given us that power and authority. And so we have power and authority over Satan's power. And when Christ died on the cross, when we watched that video that we just watched, it said when Jesus came to the cross, death thought that they were coming to the funeral, but death was meeting his funeral. And when Jesus died, he had conquered sin and death, and death met its funeral at the cross. And we who believe in Christ have all power and authority through Christ Jesus. And that's the boldness, and that's the assurance, and that's the authority we need to walk in all power and all boldness because of the authority of Christ Jesus. And so Jesus says, look, fear me, don't fear man. And Proverbs 29 verse 25 says, look, the fear of man is like a trap, like a snare. And the fear of man, whenever we live our lives trying to fear man, it becomes a trap. We give man more power and more of our energy than we should do. That the God that we serve has all power and authority. And so we have no reason to fear man. We have no reason to fear, for the Lord is on our side. And when we think about the fear of God, and I've said this before, that the fear of God, a lot of the times when you think about fearing people, we always think about perhaps being scared or being worried or concerned about something. But the fear of God actually is a reverential fear. That when we say that we fear God, we're saying that we honor and respect him in such a way that will cause us to run to him and not run away from him. Again, I was talking with my dad, and just yesterday he came round to see us. And there's one thing that my dad does. He sort of goes in a bit of a daydream, and we'll sit around the table, and we just finished eating. And randomly, and just out of the blue, he just came out with, and he said, "You know, Tunde," he goes, "I'm pretty sure this time last year, we probably thought that we had our lives all mapped out, and we had all our lives figured out, and we probably planned our year thinking we had everything mapped out. And then this pandemic came, and it really showed us more than ever before the reason why we need to fear God in this life." And I looked up, I was like, "Yeah, okay, Dad, yeah, absolutely." And it caused me to think, and I thought about it as he left, and he looked at his, and his true dad fashion, he looked at his watch, and he said, "Oh, I think it's time we should be going now." And I thought about it, and I realized that when situations and circumstances happen, like it's just happened in this pandemic, that the fear of God will cause us to not be scared and worried, but to run into the arms of Christ. And that when we get through situations that causes us to really bring things into perspective, that the fear of God, to reverence and respect him for who he is, causes us to run into his arms and not to run away. The fear of man causes us to run, but the fear of God causes us to draw closer to him. And as we go out and move out boldly, it's the fear of God. It's that intimacy. It's that relationship. It's that honor and respect that we have for him that is going to cause us to really develop a boldness and a love for God, so much so that it's going to cause us to be effective. It says that the fear of God is the beginning of all wisdom and all knowledge, and fools, only fools will despise it. And I really want to encourage us as a church and as a body that as we step out, it's the fear of God that we can run into the arms of Jesus, and that's going to cause us to move forward in power and in all authority. The final thoughts. One of the things I really thought over the last few days is the vision of Peter in the boat. And again, Adrian's word last week was so powerful. And what can be scary is when you step out in faith and you move forward, you don't have all the answers. And the reality is that we're not supposed to. Because it's God that's leading, and he wants us to fear him, to get to know him, to trust him. And for us to really get to that place, that as a church, that as God has been preparing us in a season over the last year and before then, and God is preparing our hearts, that we really get to that place where we are led by the Spirit, that we can trust God without the borders and parameters that we can set up. And we don't limit God in what God can do in this new season. And when Peter stepped out the boat, we know he stepped, and it's only when he decided not to take his eyes off of Jesus is when he realized all the distraction, the fact that there was a storm. And sometimes we can see the opposition and we can see the distractions around us. But God, and our prayer this afternoon is that we fix our eyes on Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. And the Spirit leads us where we can trust him without putting limits on what God can do. I truly believe that God is going to use so many people in this church, and this church is equipping and empowering people to really bring out of each and every one of us what God has placed in us, in and through us. And God is going to do great things through us as this church. And that is our prayer this afternoon, that we're led by the Spirit of God. I just want us to take a few seconds, 30 seconds, to really meditate on these words, that God, lead us, help us to fix our eyes on Jesus. Help us to fear you and not to fear man. And even though there are distractions that are all about us, that God, our eyes and our gaze is fixed on you, that even when we don't know what to do, we can say, Lord, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the opportunity to share your word this afternoon. And Father, thank you, Lord, that you've been preparing us, Lord, for this new season. And Lord, it's no accident that where we are right now. And even during this lockdown, Father God, we know that you've been preparing us as a church, Lord. You've been getting our attention, Father God, in prayer, in studying your word, in drawing closer to you for every situation that has happened, good and bad, Father. Lord, you've got our attention. And we thank you for bringing us together, united during this lockdown as a church. And Father God, we're looking in eager anticipation of how you want to move us forward. And Father God, we know and understand the mandate you've given us as a church to proclaim your truth and to live truth and to proclaim it boldly, despite of the opposition, despite of the forces that may come against us, despite of perception, despite of what the media may say, despite of what the government laws may be. Father God, we know, Father God, we can stand in you, and our fear and our trust is in you. Father God, I pray for each and every person on the call, the giftings and the purposes and the plans that you have for them, Father. I pray, Lord, that as we go into this new season, Lord, you'll continue preparing us for the things that you have for us to do as a church and as a body. And as Micah Ministries goes into new territory, Father, Lord, that you go before us, Father God, that you give us the tools, you give us the wisdom, the understanding, to know what it is to stand and serve and proclaim your truth boldly. Father God, I just pray for wisdom right from the top, from our pastors, the leaders, every member of the congregation, Father, and the new people, Father, Lord, that you'll add, Father God, that we will advance together, Lord, into the promises and the promised land and inheritances that you have for us as a church. Father God, we bless you. And we pray, Lord, that as we move by faith, Spirit, that you would lead us, Lord, that we would not limit you in the things that you can do for us, Father God, for we look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope it blessed you. And if it did, please like, comment and subscribe for more videos from Micah. And don't forget to click the notification bell to see when they're uploaded. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you in the next.